Today's scripture reading is from the book of Haggai in the Old Testament, chapters 1, verses 1 through 15. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. This is God's word.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us online. I wonder, are you an HGTV watcher? Do you watch programs about home renovation? I find they're like pretty addictive, like second only to like Law and Order episodes. I just get wrapped into these stories, but they're also sometimes very unrelatable. Have you seen this? Like the episodes where someone says, you know, we're Lisa and Greg and we run a cat cafe and our budget's $3.5 million. And you're like, how do these people do this? How do they imagine their life this way? And I guess what is so interestingly addictive about these shows is that they appeal to this part of ourselves that want to build out a life, that wants to renovate and reimagine our home and our sense of belonging. And this is the story of the Bible. It's especially the story of the Old Testament, which is really about carving out a space for belonging. The bookends of the Old Testament, one is about leaving Exodus, leaving this place of slavery and persecution. And then at the end of the story of the Old Testament is a story of exile and coming back to a broken and ruined city and trying to imagine that life again. In fact, in the passage we just heard from Haggai, it's this rallying cry for the people to build a house for God, to rebuild a house for God. And if you've been following along this past fall, we actually had a sermon series called Wrestling with God that ended really appropriately with the first inkling that God wanted a house to call his own. Jacob built an altar and a place called Bethel, which means house of God. And so God reminds the people of this in chapter 2 of Haggai when he says, be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Three things he says. He says, be strong, work, and do not fear. Now, if you're worried this is going to be like the New Year's Eve resolution sermon, that's not what it is. I'm not trying to rally us around necessarily, you know, recommitting to anything in particular, because life is hard. I realize that. I think you realize that. I can sometimes feel like it's hard to get my feet under me. But I think the reminder that he is with us, that he does not want us to fear, that when we work for him, is an appropriate message as we begin any kind of new phase of our life, even if it is a new year. And so two things from this passage in Haggai that I think will help us understand the purpose of our work and what we're trying to build as a community seeking to understand and serve God. 2 points, the purpose in proportion, and second, the blessing in building. In Haggai 1, verse 2, God reports through the prophet. He says, "These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house." Time has not yet come. He's I don't want to say mocking, that might be too strong of a term, but he's pointing out that they are out of proportion. They have not realized what the priority of their life having returned to Israel should be. A quick kind of historical context here. If you followed along in our small group discussions this past semester, you know about the story of exile because we studied it over 12 weeks. But these people have been ripped out of their homes. They've been dragged off to another land, Babylon. And many of the people who are returning were born in captivity, were born in exile. Those who still remember the city would not remember it as it is now because it lays now in ruins. Look at Lamentations 1 to see an example of just how bad the devastation was. So they come home to the city that lays in waste, and their priorities and their sort of proportions are out of balance. The Roman Seneca, he said famously, "While wasting our time hesitating and procrastinating, life goes on." Well, more than that, it's that God goes on. God is our life. He is our purpose. And sometimes I think we put the cart before the horse. We put our idea of home and belonging before our home and belonging with God. And so the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?" The word for paneled, like wood paneling, is the word sofan, and it means covered or even seated. That's how the word is sometimes translated in the Old Testament. I think the idea is that it's a degree of comfort. The people are building these very elaborate houses, these paneled houses. And if we can show a moment of sympathy for these returned exiles, you can imagine they're coming home and they are finding a city that is unlivable, that is untenable. It's not wrong to want insulation and protection from the elements and from the world outside. On the other hand, I think God's point is that what good is insulation and protection? What good are those comforts and those good things if God himself cannot be among us? The idea of the house of the Lord, of the temple, is this idea that he outlines in Exodus 25. He says, "Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." The purpose of God's house, his temple, is so that he can be with us, so that he can be among us in all seasons. And so even though his words get a little hard, the reason is because these people have not put the priorities in place. They have not had the right proportional view of their life. He says, "You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it." I know this can feel a little bit existential for a New Year's sermon, but haven't you experienced this in your life, that you're chasing after things that never satisfy? Read the book of Ecclesiastes if you want a pretty dramatic example, that our work and our families and all the good things that exist for us, sometimes it can feel like we're putting money in a purse with holes in it. Because the thing that we really need, that our heart was made to long for, is just to be with God. The French existentialist Albert Camus, he says this: "A man or a woman wants to earn money in order to be happy, and his whole effort and the best of a life are devoted to the earning of that money. Happiness is forgotten. The means are taken for the end." What a sobering reminder. Let us not be people who take the means for the end. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the end, which is to be with God. And if he is with us, then we can face any future and any reality, anything that comes before us. Corrie ten Boom, I've quoted this before, but the great resister and the great writer during the Second World War who protected people, who gave insulation and comfort and protection to people most desperately in need. She says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I don't know of any better way to say the purpose in our proportion, the proportion of keeping God first in our life, making sure that we are with him and he is with us as our ultimate end. But then secondly, this is a passage about rebuilding God's house, rebuilding a destroyed and devastated temple. But it's not the building itself that I'm talking about. In the second point, it's called the blessing in building. But here, I want you to hear building as a verb, not a noun. It's kind of like if you've ever heard that about love, that love is really a verb. Love belongs to be a verb, to sort of be an action. Well, that's what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about a place, a noun, a site, a setting. I'm talking about the act of building, the act of committing to renovation. Again, those HGTV shows are so kind of, you get roped into them, right? Because they're so fascinating to see what we can do to make the old new again. And so God says, therefore, because they're not building his house, because they're not focusing on the right things, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on the labor of your hands. These may be hard words to hear, but isn't there an intuitive sense about this? That when we're kind of out of proportion, when we're out of whack, when we're putting the cart before the horse, when we don't have our right priorities, not only do we suffer, but our environment suffers. This is literally talking about ecological drought of suffering, of losing things. In fact, 2 Chronicles really interestingly records when they came back, the fields were so fertile because they had, quote, Sabbath rests, right? It's the writer of Chronicles reports that during the exile, these lands were given a deep breath, and the people came home to flourishing fields and flourishing environments. And because they are just taking and taking and taking and not thinking toward the future, not thinking toward their children and their children's children, there's a real environmental consequence to not building the right things for God. And so what he's hoping the people will see and what Haggai is hoping we will see is that the blessing is found in committing to building a community and a place where God is front and center. The blessing is in the building. His presence is the present that our hearts long for. Annie Dillard says, I think it would be well and proper and obedient and pure to grasp your one necessity and not let it go, to dangle from it limp wherever it takes you. That is the message of Haggai. It's the reason I wanted to choose this passage for a New Year's type sermon, because what is our one necessity in life? What is the end toward which our hearts long for? It is to be with God. Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in Haggai chapter 1, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. Everything after that is important, but that is what matters. Do you believe God is with you in your times of flourishing and in your times of suffering, in the times of want and in the times of plenty? This is the message that Christ came to earth to give us. If we doubted that God is with us, God gave of his only Son to be with us, to bring heaven down to earth, to be our hope here in the flesh. And when people started worrying around him, when people started fixing their eyes on things that were not the end, the front and center, he reminded them that God will take care of every need, because when he is with us, who can stand against us? Here's what Christ said to his followers. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? One of my favorite moments in the great film Selma by Ava DuVernay is when Martin Luther King Jr. has been thrown in jail during the Selma marches. And a friend and a confidant reminds him of this verse. He actually just recites it to him in the jail cell. And all Martin Luther King says in response is, "Yes, sir." It's a beautiful scene. I don't know if it's based on history or if it's an imagining for the film, but whatever it is, it's this reminder that when God is with us, our hearts are satisfied. They can truly be satisfied, even when things around us are not going the way we hope and the way we long for them to be. So Haggai is this beautiful reminder that though there's so much brokenness in our life, we live in cities and our lives can sometimes feel like they're among the rubble. But if we are committed as a people and in our own spiritual life to building the Lord's house so that he can be with us, I'm not talking about a building or a four walls. I'm talking about building a space to be with God. That will last the test of time. Our home is wherever he is, and our blessing is wherever he dwells. Let me pray for us. Dear God, we are so thankful that we can come before you and join in this space and in this time, even though it's across the space of the internet. As we broadcast this service, we're thinking about all the promises you have for us. May we fix our eyes on those good things, the hope and the love and the lasting peace that can be found in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.